So God, not awesome here tonight. Sure. Tonight what we decided to do is we're going to show a little video, short video. There's a pastor that was asked about his view on homosexuality.
I've heard it said of homosexual.
As I said, I was asked a question about homosexuality, and it's his response is maybe not exactly what you'd expect. He doesn't address it necessarily head on, but he addresses it from a much bigger point of view, much broader point of view. And after we watched it, I'm going to read a couple of verses, expound on it a little bit further, and then we're going to get into groups and just have a quick discussion. But I'll tell you a little bit more about the discussion after we watch this video. So I don't know if you got the picture there, but I think in summary what he's saying is when we look at sin, we should be looking at it not necessarily from what the sin is, but rather to whether we're willing to submit to God first. And I think that's a different way of looking at it. But then it brings up the issue is, have we created a ranking for sin? If the church is known that if a homosexual couple had to walk into a church, the first thing we want to address is the fact that they're homosexual, rather than the first thing that we should be addressing is, maybe Christ has just started to talk to these individuals, and they're coming to seek the answer, which we might know, or which we do know, which is Christ. And in the same light, if we're going to judge sin, how do we look at it? How deep do we actually need to go? I mean, if we look at the Word of God, there's a few very stark and very realistic and harsh scriptures on sin. If we look at Proverbs chapter 6, 16 to 19 says, there are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who sows discord in a family. How many of those people have been kicked out of the church? How many of those things have we not been guilty of ourselves? How many of us deserve a seat in the church if we're going to measure ourselves up against that standard? And the truth is, if I had to answer that question, none of us. None of us meet the standard. Romans 3:10 says, for all have sinned and fall short of God's glorious standard. Then another verse, John 1 John 4 verse 20 says, if somebody says, I love God but hate his fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? Then John writes early on in the chapter, or early on in the book, 3 verse 15, anyone who hates his brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. Again, if we look at sin, are we judging people or categorizing sin based on what we see, rather than what God sees? Because when God sees me, what is he seeing? If I've given my life to Christ, the first thing that he sees is he actually sees Christ in me. But before that, even when I was living in sin, he saw enough in me to choose to die for me. He saw enough in me to say, that is my creation. And I want that creation to be holy. And I want that creation to have a chance. Because without me, that creation is doomed to hell. Without God, I'm nothing. No matter if I live a perfect life and only sin once, or if I'm involved in the most debaucherous activities we could imagine, it doesn't matter what sin I've committed. What matters is that Christ can forgive me for my sins, and I need to acknowledge the fact that he is Savior first, and that I'm willing to surrender to him. And as he said, then I need to study the book and check my life against the book I need to check my life against the Bible. And I don't think that the Bible specifically rates you can commit this sin and get into heaven, but you can't commit that sin and get into heaven. It ranks sin as sin. I mean, in terms of sacrifices that needed to be made in the Old Testament, there wasn't a sin that a sacrifice didn't have to be made for. And that on its own says that each sin carries a price. Romans 6:23 is clear when it says, "For the wages of sin is death." That's any sin. But the gift of God is eternal life. And maybe let's just read one more scripture out of Matthew, out of the Beatitudes. Matthew 5:27-28. And it says, "You have heard the commandment that says, you must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart." It's easy to identify the sins that we can see. It's harder to identify the sins we can't see. And on that alone, I think we need to be careful how we go about ranking sin, or whether sin should be ranked in the first place. If rather we should be looking to see, should I not be surrendering to God first? Should I not be dealing with the planks that are in my eye first? And rather love people not on their outward appearance, but what God has already placed on the inside, which is a heart. Maybe a heart that's been hardened. Maybe a life that's been through what we can't imagine. But it's a life nevertheless that was created by our Savior, who saw fit to save us in our weakness, in our sin, to die for us when we didn't deserve it, so we can love others when they don't deserve it, because we've received the same, and we need the same every single day. So that's my short little chat. But what I'd like for us to do now is to break up into small groups and just have a 5-10 minute discussion on how we should be approaching this problem with categorizing sin. No, or how are we approaching it? How do we look at it? How best should we be looking at it? And how did Christ approach sinners? And I think that that's an interesting one. How did Christ approach sinners? I can ask you to break up into a couple of groups, and then we'll have a discussion, and then we'll close in prayer in about 10 minutes. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God that loves all of us. And Lord, you have created us. And Lord, we know we all have flaws and we have things that we are working through, Lord. But Lord, I want to ask you tonight that you would help us to look at all people with love, Lord, and not judge them on the outward appearance or what may seem to us as obvious sin and obvious rejection of your word, Lord. So Lord, we don't know where people have been. We do not know what they've experienced. We don't know what's brought them to where they are in their lives at that point. But Lord, one thing we do know, Lord, is you loved us when we didn't deserve your love. And Father God, in the same light, I want to ask that you'd help us to love those that we might not feel we can love. But Lord, because you love them, we'll love them. Lord, help us to actively make the choice every single day to not judge, but Lord, to walk around with the heart of Christ, Lord. The heart that wants to see all saved and that wants to see none perish, Lord. Lord, the heart that will put us in those uncomfortable places, because that's where Jesus would be. Because Jesus doesn't care how churched we are. He cares how much we love him and how much we show his love. So Father, I want to pray that you would go with us in this week, Lord, and help us to stand strong in our faith, and help us to stand and grow in love, Lord, and faith, and push our Christian boundaries in what we will go and do, Lord, in terms of bringing fame to your kingdom, Lord, and loving the unlovable. Father God, I thank you that we can only do this by your Holy Spirit within us. We thank you for this now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.